across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, May 21st, 2024. And it's another beautiful day to have you here. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the app, or watching us through social media on some of our live video feeds, or listening on demand via podcast. I got a question for you. Did you kill a red lobster with your big fat piggy pile of shrimp from the Endless Shrimp promotion? Are you the one who killed red lobster? The answer is no. And I'll explain that and have more of the news. It's always a busy day. There's a lot to unpack every day. So that's why we unpack the news right here. Five mornings a week for you between 6 and 8 a.m. And that's coming up in just a bit. First, a little reminder, you can join the conversation by ringing us up at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can call us on that number. You can text us on that number. And you can also reach us through the Civic Media app, or you can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook, you can leave comments on those pages. We'll see them, maybe put them up on screen and respond to them as well. So many ways to get in touch with us. So along with talking about Red Lobster's demise and what really led to it, what else will we be doing today? We'll be talking to Sherita Booker, social media manager for Up North News, and talking about some of the most read, most watched, most clicked stories on our social media feeds that you've been looking at over the past week or so. We'll talk about those popular stories. In our second hour, we'll meet up with Matt Rothschild, and you'll say, no, wait, why? He used to be with Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, but he retired now. He's just living the life, right? No, he is staying busy, as so many new retirees are. It's like, just want to do a little bit more, and he's doing it for Civic Media. So we'll talk about a podcast series that he is developing about that as well. We'll have Chad Holmes in from Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. His show follows this one here in the Wausau area, or you can listen through the aforementioned Civic Media app, and we'll find out what he's got going on with his show. We are looking to meet with Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, a little after 7 o'clock to find out about what could be a rainy, stormy day throughout many parts of Wisconsin today. And a lot of rain fell in some places, just narrowly missed us here in Chippewa Falls. And so as a result, looking at current conditions around the state, it appears we're one of the few places that doesn't have an issue with fog this morning, because where more rain fell in more places, they're having a foggy morning, and there's some advisories out to be extra careful on the drive this morning. Lake Wissota here is at 65 degrees right now, Hayward at 54. Park Falls at 56, Wausau reporting 57 degrees, Green Bay 59. In La Crosse, it is 65. In Wisconsin Rapids, it's 59 degrees. Oshkosh is at 58, Madison 61, and it is 57 degrees in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where we find one Greg Bach standing by again for Ted Lasso fans. And they see on his shirt through social media, he is paying homage to Roy Kent, once again, blowing his whistle by not putting a whistle in his mouth, but instead saying,
whistle, whistle.
And that's why,
because his lips are very sensitive to alloy metals.
Yes. I kind of forgot about that part. Hi to Sarah, who's chiming in on Facebook over here. Nice to have you
here.
Hi,
Sarah. I'm here too. Ugh. Good Lord. I know it's the Pat Breitlow show, but, you know.
Oh, no. That title's not on here at all. this isn't about me. So how are you? You know what? We'll get back to you on this. Do you have fog down there?
Yeah, it's actually dissipated quite a bit down here in Waukesha, where I'm at, downtown Waukesha. But when I was driving here, it was thicker than thick soup. It was really bad.
Thicker than thick soup.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was kind of signs on the side streets couldn't see, but for maybe like 10 feet away.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, it was really, really bad. So I was driving.
So serious.
Here's a question I have for you, Pat. Are putting your hazards on, is that a fog thing? Because I saw three people with hazards on. Okay, I saw three cars with hazards, not pulling over, not slowing down. They just were driving, but they all had their hazards on.
No. No, that's not it's not how you're supposed to do it, but plenty of people do. There are fog light settings on people's cars.
Yeah.
And I'll be the first to tell you, you don't want to have to think about it when it's foggy, because you're like, which way does that switch go? You know, but when you do, it becomes a little bit easier to see and be seen. But flashers are just going to get people, you know, alarmed that there's some kind of, you know, an accident or something. And then they're even more on edge. And then there isn't anything because, you know, you were just using your flashers instead of just driving, you know, slowly with the rest of the traffic.
Okay.
So, yeah. So don't do that.
I would never do that. I didn't like that at all. It made me feel nervous. I was afraid they were going to pull off or something. And I just.
Right.
Okay.
Yep, exactly. See, Alicia writes in that the fog between Green Bay and Greenville was patchy. Mm-hmm. And so we appreciate the little update there. And again, just want everybody to drive with a little extra care today. I was hoping to report to you that the Kreitlow pontoon was now on Lake Wissota. It's not quite yet. The dock has gone in. The boat lift went in. But I'm sensing the boat will come in today, although that's kind of weather dependent. But having the pontoon about to go in reminds me of the excitement that is starting to build for Up North News Radio Yacht Rock Night with the Milwaukee Brewers coming up in late July. We're taking this Yacht Rock thing seriously this year, Mr. Bach.
Well, it's funny you say that, Pat. As of this morning, because I got a little notification, woke up at, I was up super early.
And I can't wait to hear your reaction on this one.
Little notification came through my phone that said, mm-hmm. Hey, your pre-order is arrived and ready to enjoy. That is the Michael McDonald memoir that came out this morning.
No.
What a Fool Believes, written and narrated by Mr. Michael McDonald. And Paul Reiser, too. And Paul Reiser, too. I don't know about that. I'll find out more, but... Oh, and I'm like four chapters in already.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Here, I thought you were going to be reacting to the meeting invitation that Mr. Mathers sent to you.
That's the thing is, I didn't know where to see. He sent it yesterday. I'm like, all right, cool. And then when you just announced it now, I'm like, I guess it's happening. So I'm just trying to play like, yeah, this is totally happening. All right, let's do this. Yeah.
This is happening. The notification, it doesn't just say from Luke. He didn't just put in there, you know, like meeting invitation or, you know, conference room or whatever. He's got a little creativity here. You are invited to the UNN for Up North News Radio. You're invited to UNN Yacht Rock into AmFam Field discussion. So that's just a fancy
way. I can't wait to go to that meeting and talk about baseball.
It's our own little party planning committee is going to get together and figure out what we all can do at AmFam Field on Friday, July 26th, Yacht Rock Night at the Brewers game.
So, I'll bring plates.
You'll bring plate. You won't have to. You won't have to bring a thing but you.
Oh, wow.
And even to the extent that you can, because I'm thinking we're gonna make a night of it. Because I haven't looked ahead on the calendar yet, but my guess is that after Yacht Rock Night at the Brewers game, there's probably a comedy club in town that we could probably swing by as well. So
here's the thing is I do have to look at my schedule for what's going on.
I know, exactly. It's like, well, because otherwise people are going to be, where's Craig? So we might have to just grab a party bus and, you know, tool over and, you know, give you a visit if you can't make it over to the game. You know?
Is it going to be a night?
It's a Friday night.
It's a Friday night.
Yeah.
What night is it?
July 26th.
Oh,
he's making a face.
You just keep talking like people are like, oh my gosh, Pat Kreitlow's
like
talking.
We're not vamping at all. Like,
no,
okay.
Like, well, we're not vamping at all. And Pat Kreitlow's like, I have an amazing deep idea I want to talk to everyone about.
Well, and that's exactly why the party planning committee is getting together later this week. You know, what started out as just one old man wanting to play some 70s tunes for bumper music has really morphed into something that's borderline dangerous. And so I can't wait to see how we pull all this off, because We're going to use all the Civic Media tickets. And by all, I mean, you know, a couple of us are going to go to the game, but we're going to save a handful of them and have some listeners be able to join us.
Pat, I got good news and bad news.
All right.
What do you want first?
I want the good news.
I can just go.
You can just go?
I can go for the whole thing.
Are you planning to sell the club the day before or something?
No,
what's the bad
news? What are you doing? Stop
it. What's the bad news?
The bad news is the club is closed that weekend. It's Harley weekend, so...
It's Harley weekend?
It's Harley weekend that weekend. So we're closed that weekend because it's like we can't, it's just, we're rather close to the Harley Museum. There's a lot going on. So we're just like, you know what, this year we're just going to be closed.
Let them, you guys take
so
that.
So I have the whole night off, baby.
Ooh, okay. And also all these folks in Harleys are going to show up and they're going to be like, why are we hearing Michael McDonald? They're going to be expecting to hear like
no,
to be wild.
No, they're going to be like hey, why do I hear what sounds like an ailing 46-year-old man trying to sing Michael McDonald, who looks like Michael McDonald in the throes of the end?
No, I wouldn't say that. No, not the throes of the end. You're peak McDonald over there.
Okay. Also, the fact that I just found out you have a pontoon boat, we're going to talk about this later. So,
oh yeah, we got a lot of fun to cover between now and Yacht Rock Night with Up North News Radio. Speaking of the aforementioned Brewers, okay, maybe it's not the dumbest loss we've ever had, but it ranks up there. I mean, we were up 2-1, bottom of the ninth, but Mitch White, who's now on his third team of the year, now pitching for the Brewers. Two strikes away from sealing the deal, but instead gives up the tying run, and then the Brewers go on to lose in 10 innings to the lowly Marlins. We'll do it again tonight, starting at 5:40, pregame at 5:05 on four Civic Media stations around the state. But, I mean, our starting pitcher, Joe Ross, went out in the first inning with a strained back. So, I mean, again, somebody's got a voodoo doll with our pitching staff on it and has for a while because we have so much to overcome. And some days it's going to hurt.
I can talk about Brewers pitching for a while, but I can't.
No, we don't want to hurt. We're feeling good. We're feeling good. The pontoon's going to be in soon.
I'm going to get myself
a captain's hat. And he's going to work on his Michael McDonald impression. And we're going to unpack the news for you coming up in just a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning. When you're here, you're up north. Live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlaw. Leo Sayer's birthday today. You've got a cute way of talking. You've got the better of me. Coming up in today's history lesson, Leo Sayer, who gave us that song, gave us Long Tall Glasses, More Than I Can Say, and more, turns 76 years old today. And we'll have that and so much more coming up in just a few minutes here on Up North News Radio. We're going to hear from Sherita Booker, our social media manager, in just a sec here. And then on the backside of that, we're going to talk about the demise of Red Lobster and the lesson that it provides to us. Again, whenever you hear the initial explanation of something from so many different groups, I won't list them all, but don't necessarily take it at face value. So when people tell you, oh, it was all the all-you-can-eat shrimp, that's what killed Red Lobster. Endless shrimp was never going to take down a company. There's much more to it, and we'll have details after we find out more about some of the popular stories that you're digging on us here on Up North News. All right, it's time to check in with Sherita Booker, social media manager for Up North News. If you are not regularly following what she does, what we all do on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, I'm on Threads now and then. Head over to those. Look for Up North News WI to find out what's popping up. And Sherita's here once a week to tell us some of the stories that get the most clicks, which are most viewed, which are most read, which are most watched, and gives us three stories this week as always. Sherita, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So we've had inquiries that lead to our first post here. And look, as somebody who worked in the billboard industry, as I did for a couple of years in Milwaukee, you know, I know a few things about it. And I know that there's nothing like a good billboard mystery campaign where you can't tell who put it up and it gets people talking. But in this case, Sherita, it's something that's political and kind of incendiary, depending on whether you are a supporter or a critic of former President Donald Trump. Tell us about some billboards popping up around here.
Yep. So these billboards featuring Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein have been popping up along roadways in Wisconsin recently. And the billboards feature a photo of Trump and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein alongside text that reads, "Paid for by Protection Children QLLC. And please remember." According to a 2002 interview with New York Magazine, Trump said Epstein was a terrific guy and that he'd known him for 15 years. He also said he's a lot of fun to be with. That post had almost 200 comments on Facebook. Lori said, "I'm sick of seeing the Trump 2024 signs that are scattered across the countryside. I will be happy to see this sign." And Marsha said, "How low can they go? Pathetic."
Look, it seems like all's fair. Here's the thing to remember, and it sounds a little nitpicky, but when we're talking about political communication, you know, political communication basically has to say, you know, vote for this person or call this person and tell them such and such. There's no language on here except "please remember," and then the photo of Trump and Epstein, and then this, you know, weird name of a group that nobody can seem to trace. They trace it to mailboxes, but, you know, they haven't seen anybody that they can tie it to. And so it's not technically a political message, but I mean, Sherita, we both agree somebody's trying to make this a political message.
Absolutely.
Of some form or another. And again, these could be anti-Trump folks. They could just as easily be people who hope that the signs have some kind of a backlash effect because they are going up pretty much exclusively in rural areas where Trump has strong support. So who's we just don't know. But obviously it gets a lot of comments. And I got a feeling that these boards are going to be around if they're getting people talking the way that they are. All right, let's get to something people are talking about that's better. It's graduation season. We talked last week about the Kansas City Chiefs kicker and his horribly misogynistic speech. Thankfully, we have an example of a much better graduation commencement speaker from right here in Wisconsin.
Yep, we have a little throwback Thursday for you. So UW and Madison invited former Badger J.J. Watt to deliver the 2019 commencement speech. He gave a great speech highlighting Wisconsin's culture, like our cheese curds and great beer, and he also highlighted his experience in the league. His hope was to buy every grad a beer, but legally he wasn't able to do that. So that post had almost 1,000 likes on Facebook. Steve said, "Glad to see a speech honoring grads without politics seeping into the mix. Nowadays, politics are a spilled drink entering the crevices of an already saturated mind. Prayers for world peace, but let us celebrate graduation for one day."
It's a good, it's a good memory, a good throwback Thursday here on a Tuesday to let people know that there are far better speakers out there. Did you have anybody like that for any graduation ceremony, like a celebrity speaker or somebody that you remember? Because I know a lot of them are just kind of forgetful.
No, I didn't. But I went to UW-Milwaukee and like the years following my graduation, there were like famous people who came and spoke, people who went to UW-Milwaukee. I can't remember the one guy's name, but I was like, oh man, like it would have been nice to have him at my graduation.
I don't remember the one from college at all. I remember the one from high school because it was me. And it was a case where, thank goodness, the couple of teachers who coached me, they were part of the forensics or speech team, you know, coached me for weeks on the speech and getting it just right. And I'm so glad they did, because somebody, either accidentally or intentionally, removed the script from the podium. And so when I got to the podium, there was no script for me to read.
Oh my goodness.
I am so glad they made me rehearse it so much that I could do it from memory. And I really don't think I could do that again, but nobody should sweat that much on their graduation, but somehow Somehow that's what happened to me in the class of 1982. All right, another happy story from Wisconsin athletes doing well. And so tell us about a player who was recently drafted and the nice thing that he did for Mama.
Yep, Fond du Lac native Braylon Allen was the youngest player drafted into the NFL this year, and he'll be playing alongside former Packer Aaron Rodgers with the New York Jets. But that's not the highlight here. On Mother's Day, he surprised his mom with a brand new GMC Yukon. That post had more than 4,000 likes on Facebook. Linda said, "What a great son. I cherish my mom. My son-mom relationship is great when they don't forget who stood by them through thick and thin. Congrats, Brandon. Hope you have a great NFL career. Wisconsin is cheering you on." And Judy said, "I sure wish the Packers would have drafted him, but I wish him the very best."
That's very nice. And it's a very good gesture, of course, because he's about to make a whole lot of money. Yep. It's got a nice pink bow on it, as you can see from our post on social media. So let me ask you this both ways, Sharita. If you got signed to like this massive contract, or you know, one Powerball or something like that, what's a gift that you would give, you know, some kind of a family member, you know, whether it's a parent or somebody else that's been close to you? Are you the kind of person that would get a car and put a big old bow on it?
Absolutely. I was raised by my grandparents, and I would definitely love to buy them a house.
Oh, that would be nice. Yeah. I would. Yes, I definitely would have done that back in the day for as much as one of my grandmas did for me over the years. And then the other way around, if your kids were to give you, you know, hit it big and give you something, what would you want them to give you? And keep in mind, they might be listening.
I'd also love a house.
There, I like it. Okay. So there you go, folks. If you want to do something nice for Sharita Booker and you win Powerball, get in touch with us and we'll find out what kind of specs she's looking for. And you know what? Then we'll post that on social media and I'll bet that'll be a popular post too. Sharita, always appreciated so much. Thanks for your time. Play that cowbell, Greg. Back to Up North News Radio for this Tuesday morning, 6:34 the time right now. And let's see, it was on this day in 1976 that Blue Oyster Cult released their most popular album, Agents of Fortune. And thanks to Don't Fear the Reaper, that album would sell over a million copies. You think Will Ferrell was maybe responsible for a million more after that Saturday Night Live skit came out in 2000?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, mm-hmm. You referenced it, people automatically think of the sketch and right. What the band looks like in the sketch, probably not what the band looks like in real life, which really wasn't far off.
No.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good question. Do some digging. So,
little story about that, which kind of ties into our Yacht Rock discussion earlier. During my senior year of high school, we started with the help of some teachers there. We started a high school radio station, you know, over the intercom system.
Yeah.
Basically, the teachers thought it'd be a good little communication skill, you know, to teach people all kinds of things from news announcing to, you know, music and whatnot. And one of my colleagues there, Lauren Fensterman was his name, and he really liked this song, and he wanted to play Blue Oyster Cult all the time. And I wanted to play more of like the soft rock, you know, yacht rock genre that you have, because that's what I grew up with. You know, yeah. I had a mom that listened to Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand endlessly. So that was like the first bit of musical tension that had to be addressed at the high school, was the one dude that wanted to rock out to Blue Oyster Cult, which was, we were told, was too hard-edged for early morning radio in the hallways of a high school. And then over here, I'm doing yacht rock.
I just like the idea of, you know, in the day, I grew up in the days like rock versus rap and alternative yeah. versus mm-hmm. pop. And you're like, I want Blue Oyster Cult. And the other guy's like, I want Dan Fogelberg. We went to a tough high school.
The teachers were on my side too. And many years later, I offered up my apologies to Lauren, and I hope he has since forgiven me. So there's again. When the song was turned into a skit, I immediately thought, Lauren, you win this one.
Pat went to a tough high school.
Yeah, that's what we rumbled about.
Do you even know Seals and Crofts?
Do you know which seals we're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Good Lord. All right.
So Red Lobster is on its way out. The restaurant chain that we used to refer to as Dead Lobster because we thought that was so funny back when we were younger, is very nearly dead. It was a place that I really enjoyed going when it was relatively new because, you know, a seafood restaurant used to conjure up images of, you know, $100, you know, meals and things. Mm-hmm. And this was something that was more accessible and affordable. And, you know, I had a friend that really liked seafood, so we went there quite often, but haven't for a long, actually a couple of different friends, and haven't gone for a long, long time. So I'm not surprised that it's, you know, hasn't been doing well. Were you much of a Red Lobster fan at any point during its run?
Oh, Pat, let me tell you.
Oh boy, here comes story.
So growing up, like my immediate thought was seafood, expensive, the meal of the wealthy. And so my mom would take me to Red Lobster for my birthday for quite a while. Every year for my birthday, we'd go to Red Lobster. And I never was aware of, I mean, at that point too, you didn't have Applebee's, Chili's, TGI Fridays. You didn't have all these, not fast food joints, but like fast sit down joints, essentially.
Casual dining.
Casual dining. There you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. So I never knew that Red Lobster wasn't food for the wealthy, and it wasn't until I was well into my 20s, late 20s, where someone's like, yeah, that's not fancy dining. I'm like, what?
what are you talking about?
These yeah, your mom spent
so good.
Yeah, your mom spent like $15 on your meal. I'm like, oh, but I love the biscuits of Cheddar Bay.
Mm-hmm. And they were popular for a time, but then as steakhouses kind of stepped up their game on their seafood end, and other restaurants added seafood as well, all of the postmortems are being written about how Red Lobster didn't really have seafood casual dining competition, but lost out to other restaurant players. And by the way, don't let me get ahead of myself. It's not all of Red Lobster, but they did have to announce many closures and going through bankruptcy protection as well. And folks were quickly saying, oh, it must have been the endless shrimp promotion, you know, that they did not that long ago, which probably didn't help matters. But that isn't what it really was. The larger story here is this is just the latest casualty to what is best described as vulture capitalism, a private equity firm coming in and essentially, you know, getting what they can out of a business, bleeding it dry, and then selling it out. And, you know, Red Lobster was sold to a San Francisco-based private equity firm back in 2014. And according to a Business Insider article, to raise enough cash to make the deal happen, the private equity firm, Golden Gate Capital, sold off Red Lobster's real estate to another entity and then immediately leased the restaurants back. The next year, Red Lobster bought back some sites, but many of its other restaurants were suddenly strapped with added rent expenses. And this is something that has happened plenty of times where a private equity firm will unload a bunch of assets and monetize them to essentially pay for the purchase. But then later, it comes back to bite you. And, you know, if the private equity firm is smart, they will have sold out to someone else by that point. It reminds me very much of that movie, The Founder, about Ray Kroc at McDonald's. And how, you know, his light bulb moment is when some finance guy says to him, you don't seem to realize what business you're in. You're not in the burger business. You're in the real estate business. You don't build an empire off a 1.4% cut of a 15-cent hamburger. You build it by owning the land upon which the burger is cooked. What you ought to be doing is buying up plots of land, then turning around and leasing said plots to franchisees, who as a condition of their deal should be permitted to lease from you and you alone. This gives you a steady upfront revenue stream. Money flows in before the first stake is in the ground, and then it gives you capital for expansion, which fuels further land acquisition. And Greg, again, none of this is illegal. None of it is necessarily, I don't know, unethical, whatever you want to call it, but it's not the restaurant business. And private equity firms are not in the restaurant business. They're not in any business other than the money business.
No, they're not. And I know it's not the same, but I want to make this connect with places like Red Lobster closing, and then you see headlines of Google, Amazon. There is another one, like another large company cutting jobs. People think, oh, it's the economy, and the economy sucks, and people can't make their business work. It's like, no, these places are all being driven by money, not by their employees. And Amazon and Google are doing just fine. They just find that if they cut people, they can save money on various, whether it's tax incentives or just, you know, shoving three jobs into one and pushing it at one guy and saying, this is your job now. You know, so mm-hmm. it builds this narrative of like things going downwards and blaming it on politics rather than on these private companies who really are the ones saying, well, we're just going to take the money and run.
Yes. Yeah. So again, know what business they're in. Are they the craftsmen and women who, you know, actually give a damn about the product, or are they there to essentially bleed it dry? Changing gears here, I wanted to make sure, talking about high school earlier, Roger shares a comment here on Facebook. Greg went to a high school so tough when the physics teacher said, prove the law of gravity, they threw the teacher out the window.
I would never do that to Mr. Gephardt. He was a good man. He was a very nice man.
I thought I'd get a laugh. I thought I'd get maybe a rim shot. And instead I get a full-throated, almost tearful defense of his teacher.
Funny.
So not such a tough school after all. The state Republican convention was held in Appleton over the weekend, and I wanted to share just a couple of sound bites that maybe illustrate where members of the party stand these days. And these are all members of Congress or the Senate that will play here and maybe a little bit later on as well. When Derek Van Orden talks about farming and being on the House Agriculture Committee, and is asked why he has been opposed to things like rural economic development in new energy development so that farmers can increase their energy efficiency, maybe add solar or wind power, maybe add a more efficient grain dryer or a host of other things. And he opposes that. And you might wonder, why is that? Well, as we learn from this one sound clip from Derek Van Orden, in his mind, once you've got a technology, you always stick with it, no matter what. I don't know what he would have been like when they moved from horses to tractors, but here's Derek Van Orden talking about how apparently we can never replace the fuel that we're using now.
To get a seed to a field, to plant that seed, to nourish it, to get it out, to get that product to market, to process it, and then get it to a market is all predicated on diesel fuel.
That's the solution, is we're using diesel fuel. So let's just keep using diesel fuel for everything. And, you know, drill, baby, drill in the process. And ignore all of the benefits that can come from embracing cleaner energy sources, make the cost more competitive, and lead to more prosperity and jobs in rural areas. But for Derek, we're using diesel fuel right now, so I guess we always have to keep using it. For Brian Stile, a very short soundbite from him, but again, just to get a feel for how all these members of Congress feel about certain issues, here's Brian Stile on forgiving student loan debt, which, by the way, we're forgiving the part of student loan debt over and above paying back the original amount.
What they're doing is they're transferring that payment. They're transferring that payment to all taxpayers.
No, no, they're not. No, taxpayers aren't paying anything extra. You're taking care of the interest that has built up over time and not transferring the payment. The payment goes away when you forgive the debt and allow that person who has gone to college or some other higher education and use their income from that to go back into the local economy and not necessarily into government or financial coffers. Here's Tom Tiffany. He's talking a bit about the border, because that's pretty much all Tom Tiffany ever talks about. And here he is again repeating the ongoing leading Republican lie about the bipartisan border bill that could have passed, had bipartisan support. Just as it was coming up for a vote in the Senate, Donald Trump said, nope, kill that thing. I want to be able to run on hatred of immigrants. Here's what Tiffany had to say about the bipartisan border security bill.
Here's a way in which I've been attacked, I've been noticing in the last month. The left is starting to come after us now, saying, hey, there was this Senate bill, there was a bipartisan bill, why didn't you get on board? You know, you're not going to get everything. Why didn't you just do that? It would have allowed 5,000 people a day in. 5,000 people, nearly 2 million people a year.
No, it would not have. That's not what the bill did. When you hear the figure of 5,000 a day, it means that if there got to it to be a level where there were 5,000 contacts, not border crossings, contacts in a day at the border, that would trigger tougher rules for asylum seekers. But Republicans are looking to play games with the math and tell people, well, that's why the bill shouldn't have come up. In fact, Tiffany went on to later say this about the bill.
So that bill did not, the so-called bipartisan bill, which never got a vote in the U.S. Senate.
It didn't get a vote in the U.S. Senate, where it would have passed probably, because Donald Trump, again, wanted to run against it. And then the last one here quickly is Ron Johnson saying, we're such a divided country. And why are we so divided? Ron, tell us more.
We are a naturally united nation. So why are we so divided? Well, it's pretty simple to diagnose. We have political figures, President Obama, President Biden. We have political movements, the radical left, that are purposefully dividing us. I mean, that's what identity politics is all about, right? I mean, identity politics isn't about bringing people together. Critical race theory isn't about bringing people together. This transgender agenda, it is meant to divide us. But the reason they're getting away with it is because you've got so many in the mainstream media, not all, but way too many that are no longer journalists. They're advocates for the radical left. And so they're taking this crazy and they are normalizing it. They're getting people used to the concept of teachers indoctrinating little girls and telling them, you know, maybe you're a little boy.
This is why we're divided in this country, according to Ron Johnson. It's the transgender agenda. It's the media. It's Barack Obama. It couldn't possibly be the way Ron Johnson's talking to us, which is why we're so divided. No, couldn't be that at all. There's your state Republican convention. Today's history lesson is next.
Well, you know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout. Come on now, don't forget the.
Y'all know you did it. Dude, Greg and I were doing it.
Yeah, we were.
Ronald Isley, 83 years old today, from the Isley Brothers, one of their many hits here. Ronald Isley is 83 today, former Minnesota senator, and comedian Al Franken is 73 today. Check out this one. Mr. T is 72 and still getting it done in those Skechers ads.
Heck yeah. I'm friends with his daughter.
You are?
Yeah.
She ever beat you up?
No, but she could. Oh, okay. She could.
Okay. Don't doubt it. Let's see. The American Red Cross was established by Clara Barton on this day in 1881. We mentioned this next birthday before. You know, somebody who had several chart hits, You Make Me Feel Like Dancing, When I Need You. But he was also a songwriter, and he wrote the Three Dog Night song, The Show Must Go On. I'm talking about Leo Sayre.
Oh, the...
Who turns 76 years old today.
The...
Uh-oh. Where did
you got to talk for a little bit. The link was a little...
The link was a little... had a little kerfuffle.
What's the name of the song again?
It's called Long Tall Glasses. It's all about a guy who is really hungry. He comes upon a restaurant where the sign says food and drinks for everyone. But before he can get any of the food, as they say, you got to dance like Fred Astaire. There we go.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. I was traveling down the road. I gave you the bad link. I just saw that. I'm sorry.
No, no worries, man. But listen to that. Just that little like bump, 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 bump. Oh, yeah.
Leo Sayre is 76 today, and that's your uplifting song for today. Go look up Long Tall Glasses, and you'll feel good, I promise. Let's see. He turns 76. Bill Champlin turns 77 today. Had some hits with on his own and with a different group, but then he joined Chicago during the 1980s, and sang along with three of their biggest 1980s hits, including this one from 1984. So there's Bill Champlin, 77 years old today. Dorsey Levins, former Green Bay Packer, the leading rusher from Super Bowl 31. Dorsey Levins is 54 years old today. This is the anniversary of the birth of the notorious B.I.G., born in Brooklyn, Christopher George Wallace, a.k.a. Biggie Smalls, or simply Biggie, a foundational part of East Coast hip-hop, and had one of my favorite samples, grabbing this little bit from Herb Alpert in this version of Hypnotize.
Yeah! Sicker than your average, pop a twist,
cabbage off instinct. So Biggie became known for his distinctive laid-back lyrical delivery, offsetting the lyrics' often grim content, as has been written about him. On March 9th, 1997, 6 months after Tupac Shakur's murder, Biggie was murdered by an unidentified assailant in a drive-by shooting visiting Los Angeles. So again, the notorious B.I.G. would be 52 years old today. On this day in 1983, ZZ Top released their video for Give Me All Your Lovin'. Give a little listen, and we'll tell you what's significant about the song in the video. For the initial MTV generation, which includes yours truly, you would have thought this was ZZ Top's first song. No, ZZ Top had been around for a while, but this was the first appearance of The Eliminator, Billy Gibbons' 1933 Ford Hot Rod. The car would appear in three more ZZ Top videos and become associated with the band because it made them look so freaking cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see, on this day in 1992, so 32 years ago, was Johnny Carson's wrap-up show of The Tonight Show, his second-to-last episode, the last one that had guests, including Robin Williams, and then Bette Midler wrapped things up by singing to Johnny, One for My Baby and One for the Road. And it was, that was TV history right there. Everybody knew it right then and there, you know? You're like, I can't believe this show is ending. And yeah, it was after all these years. There was so much history on this day. We played a little Blue Oyster Cult earlier. We still have David Bowie and Stevie Wonder still to come. But on the National Day calendar, today is International Tea Day. I like an iced tea. I like a sweetened tea. But, you know, you're plain old hot tea. I've just never warmed up to it. I mean, I'll have some with some. I didn't mean it that way. You're such a good, you're a good hype man. You know that? Like he said hot tea and I never warmed up to it. No, I just mean, I don't like the taste of it. This is International Red Cross Day for reasons we specified earlier. It's Talk Like Yoda Day. You notice?
Talk
notice
I will. For the rest of the day. Until someone says stop it.
Was Sean Connery Talks Like Yoda Day? Is that what that?
Okay. All right.
I was going to say, neither one of us were going to take the bait on that.
And I pulled a wonderful tea clip for you just now because I
did. Did you now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hit me with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I always figured that tea was just going to taste like hot brown water. And you know what? I was right. Yeah, it's horrible. No, thank you.
Heard that in the first episode of Ted Lasso. I was like, okay, you got me.
You never I'm felt here. More seen.
Yep. And he just continued all the way through the series. He would try now and then, but it just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
This is also World Meditation Day. And I learned from one of my first jobs in radio not to be silent for too long because I was going to do some kind of a meditation thing where we all just got real quiet here. But you can't because many radio stations have an alarm system where if there's like more than so many seconds of silence, like a system kicks in and plays commercials or plays an emergency song. And the last thing I need is a note from Sage going, what did you do? And like, we were meditating.
I was getting centered.
I was oming.
I was aligning my chakras.
It reminds me of your t-shirt, the Roy Kent whistle whistle. Can you imagine him in meditation? Like, om, I'm oming, om.
That just reminds me, too, of Parks and Rec when Ron Swanson tries to meditate. He's like, I didn't think of anything. I didn't do anything. I sat there for 6 hours. Nothing.
Nice. When we come back in our second hour, we're going to have Matt Rothschild here from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign talking about something new he's doing on behalf of calling attention to the need to defend and save democracy. And he's doing it for Civic Media. So details on that and our rainy forecast, sometimes stormy at times as well, all ahead here on Up North News Radio, powered by Courier.